So I guess now we're going to move on to our next topic, which is pipelines. And maybe we can start out, if you could just share with us what pipelines are.
Okay. Pipe is a character on the keyboard. I believe it's near the enter key. Usually the character displays as either a single vertical line or two vertical lines, one right above the other. And in the at the command line, that is an indicator that what's on the left side of the pipe symbol passes its standard output. It's ordinary things that it would be outputting to the screen instead go into that pipe and become the input of next command on that line.
I see.
So, for example, you could do ls pipe wc, and that will count the characters, lines, and words in the, actually goes the other way, lines, words, characters, numeral. Or you can do WC like hyphen L to get the number of files that LS would return. So you can find out how many files are in a given directory by having the machine count them for you.
So in essence, pipe becomes useful because there's a lot of these small, specialized, I guess you could call them utilities or programs. And as you start to assemble them together, you can answer more difficult or specific questions. So yes, like the question you talked about before about how many lines are in a given directory, or how many files are in a given directory.
Mm-hmm.
You can just kind of craft that quickly using those small tools.
Yes. Yeah. And by doing this all as readable text enables you to have those standalone programs, sometimes written in C, sometimes in some other language, occasionally in assembly language. That because they only deal with input and output of text, they can be strung together. They have boundaries that they don't get outside of. And they either receive or output text, or occasionally, if they're in the middle of the pipe, then they will receive input from another command or the left-hand side of a pipe and transform the text and then output the transformed text to the next element in the pipe.
And this, are you able to chain those together so you could have multiple pipes and just keep sending it from one place to another?
Yes, and there are no temp files created. Unix has built into the kernel that a recognition that a pipe is a system call. It's built into the OS so that those don't actually become files that get spooled out. They actually build only in a memory buffer until it fills up, and then the supplier goes to sleep waiting for the next stage in the pipeline to read that input and transform it into output for its next session.
And that's all transparent to the user. It just happens and works correctly.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's going on under the hood.
And again, there are no temp files created. Therefore, you can operate on something that's much larger than the memory you have.
I see. And so, can you give us another few examples, I guess, of what you could use pipes for?
Okay.
Or how you use them, I guess.
Well, I indicated before that SED can be used to change the string, like file, to chapter, leaving the numbers that come after. And what you can do is say, okay, list the files here. So we get file 1, 2, 3, so forth. Pipe that to SED, and SED then is given the command /.*, which says take everything, every character on the input line. Well, nah, let's do it differently. Let's say /file.
Okay.
/. Okay, we're going to change that. And what we're going to change it to is MV, which is another Unix command line utility.
Okay.
Space. Ampersand, which we, whatever it found. And then a space chapter, and that would then transform the string of just the file name into a move command that would move from file 1 to chapter 1, move from file 2 to chapter 2.
And basically, ultimately,
that can then be fed to another shell, which you normally would have a human being interacting with it, but it can easily, it's just an element of a pipe just like anything else, so it can take its commands from that pipe.
Interesting.
And do those moves for you.
Interesting. And ultimately, you achieve the goal of renaming each of those files in the way that you'd like. And
yeah.
Again, without using any temporary files or anything of that nature. It just happens.
Yes. And without the tedium of having to type each one of those out over and over again, a slightly changed command to move those, to rename the files.
Now, can you use pipes in shell scripts?
Yes.
So anything, I guess, you could do with the command line, you could also copy that and place it into a shell script. It would work in the same way.
Yes, a shell script is essentially a recording of things that you would have typed so that you don't have to type them again.
A shortcut of sorts, I guess.
Yeah. And by changing its mode to executable, then at any time you can type just the name of the script you saved it into, and it will then execute again.
And it goes line by line?
Or character by character. Depends on what it is, what commands are being dealt with. For example, like I said, ls deals with file names. Other things like wc counts the number of lines, words, and characters. And so it deals with character by character as well. And it depends on recognizing word boundaries. And the way it does that is, say, a punctuation character or a space or a tab is a word boundary.
I see. And then each range of characters or series of characters within those boundaries is considered one word.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for WC. Now, there are other commands that have different definitions of words.
And I, there's another character that I've seen used sometimes on the command prompt that I'm interested in. That is the, it looks like a right caret. And I'm not sure if that's a type of pipe or what that might be.
Okay, that is sometimes called the greater than sign. And it's in Unix or Linux, it is meant to be at the shell prompt. You're saying divert the output of this command. Instead of printing it on the screen, put it into this file.
Is that considered a type of pipe, or is that more of a redirection?
That's a redirection. And along with the greater than sign, if you double that up and have greater than, that says append to this file that it already exists.
I see.
So maybe it was created yesterday by running this command, and now you want to accumulate more input and sort at the end of what you accumulated yesterday.
So that could conceivably used in maybe if you're building a log or something like that, and you just want to append some sort of entry each day to the end, yep, that might be an appropriate use for that.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting. I guess we'll take another real quick break and get one more drink. All right.
Okay. We wanted to talk a little more about the various Unix commands. And one of those is TR. TR translates from one character class to another character class. So you can say TR space quote A dash Z in lowercase. Lowercase A dash lowercase Z space quote uppercase A dash uppercase Z close quote. Now that would take TR is meant to be an element of pipe. It's always somewhere in a pipe. If you want to start a pipe with TR, you have to say take input from. Remember that the greater than diverted standard out into a file. Well, the less than sign, which is starts with the point to the left and then widens out to just where you type the name, says take your input from a file. So TR can be told to take its input from a file and translate all the lowercase characters into uppercase, or all the uppercase to lowercase.
And what types of things have you used this for?
Usually just for doing exactly that, changing the case of a file, because some utilities don't make it easy to find the difference between upper and lowercase. So you need to make sure that it's all one case if you're dealing with one of those utilities that can't ignore case easily.
So kind of to normalize before you process it using another tool.
Yep.
Are there any other command line utilities you'd like to talk about?
Well, awk. Awk is a text manipulation language all of its own. Awk stands for the names of its three programs: Aho, Weinberg, and Kernighan. Kernighan is the guy who helped or mostly wrote Unix in the original. Aho was a gentleman who dealt with regular expressions extensively. And Weinberg was, remember I said the compressed utility did Huffman encoding and so on. Weinberg was the one who wrote that, I believe.
Interesting.
He wrote the original first in assembly and then later translated it to C and made it more portable.
So the Huffman name, I get, where does that come from? He wasn't a programmer, he was more theoretical?
Huffman was, I believe, a mathematician
okay.
who came up with this algorithm for deciding what was the minimal representation you needed for the characters in a given text.
And so can you talk more about what Ock does?
Ah, yes. Ock has the syntax of a text pattern or a conditional, like if statement, which then allows you to refer to portions of a line or the entire line. $0 refers to the entire line. $1 is the first word separated by blanks. Ock doesn't know about punctuation, doesn't care about punctuation. So the default is spaces or tabs, and you can either select to hard code for just spaces or just tabs, or take the default, which is either. And characters separated by white space are words in Ock and are given the numbers sequentially, 1, 2, 3, 4, up to the final one on the line. And that one is also given a special thing referred to by $NF, which is the number of fields in the line.
So those type of shortcuts, I guess, make it easier to kind of navigate through the file and find the certain series of characters that you're interested in?
Well, with Ock, you might be able to say, okay, say I'm looking for the word page at the beginning of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And if that occurs, I want to take the fourth field of the line, and if that fourth field is evenly divisible by 7, I want to bump it one more.
Interesting. So you can concoct
you
some
can
pretty
do
crazy
arithmetic
things.
And things like that. But Ock was the original report manipulation language. Huh. And it was the awkwardness or the difficulty of getting Ock to deal with special cases and in particular interface with other Unix utilities that was the impetus behind Perl.
I see.
Perl is stands for something that I forget, programming extraction reporting language.
Wow.
And at least that's one definition. There are other definitions of what the acronym means, but it has the functionality of grep, TR, awk, SED, at least those are all built into Perl.
And by built in, do you mean that it provides a kind of nicer interface to those tools that we had talked about before, or is it a new implementation of something similar to those tools?
It has within it words or commands that implement all the functionality of those various commands inside the Perl language so that you don't have to go out to a pipe and do the manipulation there and then pipe it back in and carry on. With Perl, you have the whole thing in front of you all at once. The result is it can sometimes be faster because you only have one process to work with, and it transforms the text faster than running it through multiple external commands via pipe.
And probably to the programmer's eyes, a little bit more logical and easy to use, you might say.
There are some things you can do with Perl that would be very hard to do if you tried to pipe things together. Yes.
And so kind of looking back, we've talked about awk, we've talked about TR, and we've also talked about sed, or the stream editor. In your opinion, do each of them kind of have their own niche, or do some of their functionalities overlap?
Well, some of the functionality does overlap, but it's kind of like you have a machete and various size knives, butcher knives, and steak knives, and fish boning knives, and they can all be used to cut a string.
I like it. I think I like the whale boning knife. So I guess it really does come down to preference and just what you're comfortable with. There's a few different means to an end.
Some utilities are particularly suited for particular jobs. It's like the knives. You choose the machete when you're going out cutting weeds. You don't take a steak knife.
Well, it's been quite interesting, and glad we had this chance to talk, and hopefully we'll get a chance next couple weeks to do it again. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.